From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies on the law of God, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, and the founder of the Let the Bible Speak ministry. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of Charles Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in Psalm 112 and verse 7. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. Christian, you ought not to dread the arrival of evil tidings, because if you are distressed by them, what do you more than other men? Other men have not your God to fly to. They have never proved His faithfulness as you have done. And it is no wonder if they are bowed down with alarm and cowed with fear. But you profess to be of another spirit. You have been begotten again unto a lively hope, and your heart lives in heaven and not on earthly things. Now, if you are seen to be distracted as other men, what is the value of that grace which you profess to have received? Where is the dignity of that new nature which you claim to possess? Again, if you should be filled with alarm, as others are, you would doubtless be led into the same sins common to others under trying circumstances. The ungodly, when they are overtaken by evil tidings, rebel against God. They murmur and think that God deals hardly with them. Will you fall into that same sin? Will you provoke the Lord as they do? Moreover, unconverted men often run to wrong means in order to escape from difficulties. And you will be sure to do the same if your mind yields to the present pressure. Trust in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Your wisest course is to do as Moses did at the Red Sea. Stand still and see the salvation of God. For if you give way to fear when you hear of evil tidings, you will be unable to meet the trouble with that calm composure which nerves for duty and sustains under adversity. How can you glorify God if you play the coward? Saints have often sung God's high praises in the fires, but will your doubting and desponding, as if you had none to help you, magnify the Most High? Then take courage, and relying in sure confidence upon the faithfulness of your covenant God, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid.
Trusting heart to Jesus clings, nor any ill forebodes. But at the cross of Calvary sings, praise God for lifted loads. Singing I go along life's road, praising the Lord.
Thank you.
One of the most precious gifts God has given to mankind is the Bible, the Holy Scriptures. For those in the English-speaking world, the ability to own a copy of God's Word is taken for granted. Indeed, many of us possess multiple copies of the Bible. Yet, this was not always the case. There was a time when attempts to translate the Bible into the language of the common people were met with persecution and even death. Men like John Wycliffe and William Tyndale were hunted like outlaws simply because they labored to give God's Word to people in the language they could understand. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available a booklet that briefly traces the history of those efforts, entitled How We Got Our English Bible. This short publication tells the story of the development of the authorized version of the Scriptures as we know it, including the enormous impact of the invention of printing upon the spreading of God's Word. Published by the Trinitarian Bible Society, this booklet is free to all who request it. Simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of How We Got Our English Bible, and we'll be happy to provide it. Today, Dr. Alan Cairns continues his series on the Law of God as he commences a message entitled, Loving Ourselves. The text is found in Matthew chapter 22, verses 35 through 46, in which a lawyer or expert in the law seeks to confound the Lord Jesus by asking him what the greatest commandment is. With divine incisiveness, Christ sums up the law in two statements. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. In this message, Dr. Cairns will explain the nature of true love for self. Far from the self-centered, self-indulgent attitude that passes for a positive self-image in our day, true self-love reveals a believer's attitude and care for himself, generated by a true apprehension of God's love for him. Now to introduce this message, Loving Ourselves, here is Dr. Cairns.
We spent some time last Sabbath evening considering the whole theme of love for God. Now we must consider the second part of the text and the reading, namely, love for man. There is something that lies on the very surface of this text that rarely obtains a hearing in the Christian pulpit. In telling us to love men, the Lord Jesus Christ asserts very, very clearly that God's law is that we should love ourselves and then we should love others. Tonight, I want us to consider this love of self, which according to the Savior is part of this very brief and concentrated summary of the entire moral duty of man under God's law. This love of self. Now, instinctively, we think of self-love as something base, something unworthy of a Christian, a display of pride, and indeed of arrogance. And I have to confess, I believe that instinct is absolutely right. It's difficult to imagine anything less in keeping with Christ's description of the blessed man as meek and poor in spirit than what the world thinks of as self-love. The law of God most assuredly does not command us to engage in self-confidence, self-expression, self-indulgence, self-promotion, and self-interest. In fact, if you take your Bible and study it carefully, you'll find that far from commanding these as virtues, the Scriptures condemn them as vices. When the law of God calls us to self-love, it of course uses the word love in all its biblical purity. From our text, that will make something very clear. And it's simply this, follow it carefully. We laid the basis of this last Sabbath evening. Self-love is properly the attitude and care we should take for ourselves because we love the Lord with a love that is begotten by His love for us. Now let me repeat that as a definition, because this is what Christ is talking about in our text. This is what I'm talking about tonight as we consider loving ourselves. Self-love, properly speaking, is the attitude and the care that we should have for ourselves because we love the Lord with a love that is begotten by God's love for us. This self-love includes proper care of our bodies. Paul said in Ephesians 5:29, "No man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church." Now I know that that is spoken in a much wider context, but the words in themselves are true. No man who obeys the law of God will destroy his own flesh. No man who loves the Lord and obeys the word and law of God will do aught but nourish and cherish his body, look after his own body, even as the Lord Jesus looks after his mystical body, which is the church. We are so used to making the spiritual application of that passage that husbands should love their wives in this way, and that's a perfectly good application, and it's what Paul meant us to make. But we are so good at making that spiritual application that we can very easily overlook the fundamental and clear application of the words in their native force. That is, that every lover of God and every obedient servant of the law of God should nourish and cherish his very body as Christ does his body, the church. This self-love goes beyond the body. It includes our care for the welfare of our souls. Writing to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 8, the apostle said, "Let us who are of the day." Now let me just interject something. Those who are of the day are walking in the light of God's word. They are walking the life of obedience to God's word. They are walking according to the law of God. Let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. There should be a covering for the heart, for the soul, for the affections, for the spiritual man. Just as we feed the body, we should feed the soul. Just as we protect the body, we should protect the soul. Self-love includes care for the welfare and the spiritual development of our souls. And of course the aim is to present both body and soul to the Lord as useful instruments in the service of the Savior. Isn't this Paul's great application of his entire exposition of the gospel in Romans chapter 12? When he said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." That's the body. Now he goes on, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind," or of your soul, "that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." This then is the self-love of which the Savior speaks. And what I've said brings us back now to that fundamental observation I made last week that I want to pursue tonight. A proper attitude to ourselves and others is the result of a true love for God. Tonight we're going to concentrate on the first part of that statement. A proper attitude to ourselves is the result of a true love for God. To put it the other way around, a true love for God produces a true regard for ourselves. Now let me try and explain that. First thing I want to say is this, that no man can have a proper regard for himself without a true love for God. The man who disregards God has a totally false view of himself. He forgets or he ignores the fact that he's God's creature. He is answerable to God. He is accountable to God. But the man who has little or no regard for God mocks the very idea of his standing before God to give account unto God for the deeds done in his body. He mocks this either in so many words, or he mocks it by his whole demeanor, proclaiming by his manner of life his belief, I will never bow the knee at God's judgment bar. I will never give account to God. The psalmist spoke of such people in Psalm 94. In verse 3, he refers to them as the wicked. And the word that is there, translated the wicked, has the idea in it of the lawless ones. Here is the view of the lawless. They say, verse 7, the Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it. The man who has no love for God imagines himself to be this independent character. He is no longer God's creature, answerable to God, dependent on God. Like Belshazzar, he preens himself in his earthly glory. He surrounds himself with all the majesty of his own doings. He surrounds himself with his own right-thinking friends. He blasphemes God. He mocks his law. He mocks his people. He tramples his truth beneath his feet. He drinks to his gods, his idols, out of the very cup that he took from the temple of God. But then God comes. Through the prophet Daniel, he says to him, God, in whose hand thy breath is. Here's the man who was, in his opinion, king of the world, joint king of the great Babylonian dominions. Soon he would imagine to be sole king. Here is this man, apparently impregnable, even though an army was outside his great capital. He knew they could never overcome him, so he thought. Daniel says, Belshazzar, you're such a dependent little creature, God even holds your breath in his hand. That night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain because God shut his hand. The man who has no regard for God embraces insanity, and he proclaims it as sin. He binds himself to sin and to Satan, to sorrow and destruction. The Savior says, whoso committeth sin is the slave of sin. But this fool says, I commit sin, and it is freedom. Binds himself to Satan, the great dominator and dammer of the souls of men. He proclaims him a loving master. He exalts the lusts of his lowest nature to the throne of his being, laughing in God's face as he says, sin when it is conceived bringeth forth lust, and when it's finished it brings forth death. Why, indeed, he lives like there were no God. The man who doesn't love God lives like God didn't exist. Lives as if there were no heaven, as if there were no hell. I wonder tonight, do we have such in this very meeting? Oh, you'd never become what is called a theoretical atheist. You're not going to step out and, as a philosophy of life, say, I take my stand on atheism, there is no God. But in practical terms, you disregard him, you ignore him, you wish him out of existence. The fool hath said in his heart something he may never proclaim with his lips, but in his heart he says, no God. That's the wish of his deepest soul. No God, no judge, no lawgiver. He lives as if God did not exist, and heaven and hell were myths. And he's a fool, because God is. And heaven is real, And hell is a burning lake of fire that will consume in the endless punishments of a lost eternity the souls of the unregenerate as long as the eternal God exists. Thus, the man who disregards God betrays himself and destroys himself. The man who hates God hates himself. The man who rejects God rejects his own good. The man who makes God his enemy is the enemy of his own soul.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.